Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm John Kamensky, and this morning's conversation is with Vance Hitch, the Chief Information Officer for the U.S. Department of Justice. Joining in our conversation is Richard Scott. Mr. Hitch, can you tell us about the department's law enforcement information sharing program and how this fits in with the department's One DOJ initiative?
Sure. They're obviously very closely tied to each other. The Law Enforcement Information Sharing Program, LEISP, is really it's a statement of the department's commitment to information sharing in this age of terrorism and so forth. Ever since I've been there, it has been the watchword. Just before I came, counterterrorism became one of our top mission. So it's a given that we must do it, but yet it's so hard to do. and the legacy of information sharing is in the federal government is pretty spotty. There are some excellent examples, and I would hold up the FBI's CJIS division out in West Virginia as a really good example of historically, working on programs and having programs that shared information and are used in the law enforcement community by state and local police every day that are good examples of information sharing. However, that being said, all of these programs, the Department of Justice is a fairly decentralized organization. As I mentioned, we have FBI, DEA, ATF, U.S. Marshals, Bureau of Prisons. We got all these big organizations in and of themselves who all had cultures in and of themselves, and also they tend to develop systems fairly independently a ways back before I came. Therefore, the systems that they developed, however well-intentioned, however wonderful they were intended to be to serve a specific mission purpose for that component, didn't necessarily take in the big picture of how the information could most effectively be used in sharing it with each other within the Department of Justice as well as in the broader community. What I embarked on after I came was kind of to look at all of our programs and retroactively fit them into an architecture that would work together and to make sure that information sharing did happen within the Department of Justice and enabled us to share broadly across the law enforcement community. So from my perspective as a CIO, LEISP is very important from an information system standpoint, but it's also very important because it's much more than a technology program. It is really a program that involves all of the policies and procedures and culture aspects of information sharing. And as you probably have heard, there are many barriers to information sharing, and many of them are cultural. And the reason is because the integrity of information to a law enforcement officer is everything. When that person kind of gets the leads and gets the information and is building a case and creating a line of thinking, and making sure that that information is valid and is not abused is very important. So there's many aspects of information sharing, and there's some impediments. And the culture always said you were very careful and you didn't share that information too broadly. LEISP is really turning that kind of paradigm on its side and saying, we really do need to share most of our information. Now, we can't share everything because it would not make sense to share everything. It would put people's lives in danger if we shared everything. But if we say we're dealing with 100% of the law enforcement information, and today we share 5%, and if we could up that to 75%, we will have done a tremendous benefit for the American people and for law enforcement across the country. And that's really what our objective is. So it is to turn these systems, which were kind of developed in a stovepipe, into a powerful machine that can analyze and provide a format that is easily accessible for information sharing among trusted partners across the law enforcement community. And so the technical part is there, and that's really my job. And I also work with the Deputy Attorney General, who is our executive sponsor for LEISP, and he's really the one who has to basically lead the culture change, because he is the chief operating officer of the department, and making change in these very old and proud organizations is very difficult, and changing their culture is very difficult. So it needs somebody from that law enforcement side who is leading that charge, and that's the Deputy Attorney General. So this is very much a multifaceted program that involves culture change, looking at our policies, make sure our policies are not impediments to change so that we can share information effectively, as well as the technical side.
Well, given that vision and that direction, how are you working with the state and local governments to share information?
Well, the state and local law enforcement community is an extremely important partner in our LEISP concept, because if you take the example that I gave a little earlier about a historically good example of information sharing, which is the CJIS program, they have put out information about criminal history and what's called wants and warrants information about criminals across the United States. So when anybody, a law enforcement officer, whether it's state or federal, picks up somebody, if they want to check to see who they are and if they have a criminal history, they can go reliably to CJIS and find that information. So that's kind of like the model that we're trying to follow, but in a lot greater richness. So state and local is very important because they are out there. You know, a lot of the trends that you've heard, you know, in the recent bombing in London and so forth, I guess the thinking about the threat of terrorism has changed gradually, and I don't know there's any one theory, but certainly there's a coordinated, you know, major organization like Al-Qaeda who's out there, but then there's also these cells which are operate fairly independently. So we have to deal with it from a national level, but dealing with it at the local level, a lot of times that just comes through the law enforcement organizations that are across the United States. They see suspicious activity. They note, you know, people who have been involved in drug running and things like that, and they connect it to some people who have been involved in terrorism, and you never know where this is going to go. So one of the things that we say in the law enforcement community is that you don't know whether it's terrorism information until after you begin connecting the dots. It's just law enforcement information, and there's a lot of it out there, and a lot of that comes from our state and local partners. So one of the things that we want to do is to have a comprehensive program that involves putting all of the our information from all of the Department of Justice, making that available for sharing, and getting as much information as we can from our state and local partners, and putting that in the shareable space also, so that we can share among each other according to, obviously, MOUs, memorandums of understanding that kind of say how we're going to use it and reasonable expectations about who's going to use it and have access to it and so forth. So the state and local partners are absolutely critical in this overall picture.
As you move into that era where you're opening up your information and incorporating information from other areas, how are you strengthening and improving the security of the information?
Well, obviously, IT security is absolutely essential to the concept of information sharing. I mentioned the cultural barriers. You know, people are very reluctant to share because they're afraid the information will get in the wrong hands, or they're afraid that it might get misused. Therefore, it's a non-starter if you don't have good IT security. You must have good IT security in order to even have the possibility of information sharing. Because when a law enforcement officer puts their protected information in and says it can be shared, they want to make sure that it's going to be shared in the way they think it's going to be used, by the people they think it's going to be used, and in ways that they think they're acceptable. IT security helps guarantee that by putting good controls, good security in the networks, in the systems, having good credentialing, having good, strong mechanisms for auditing and so forth. It's all a part of the picture that you have to create from a technical standpoint in order to make sure that the information sharing environment has integrity, and therefore the people are willing to put their trusted information in there.
Excellent. How are you encouraging collaboration and teamwork across other government agencies such as the Department of Homeland Security?
Well, obviously, we view the Department of Homeland Security as an extremely important information sharing partner, and we view ourselves as an absolutely critical element in the broader Homeland Security community. So we have worked very closely with them. In terms of our LAISP program, the Department of Homeland Security was invited to be a part of all of our focus groups and all of our steering committee meetings and so forth, so they knew what we were doing, so they can contribute to the extent that they wanted to. We've made available everything that we've done. All the preliminary documents, the planning documents, they understand what we're doing from a technical standpoint. We've also initiated some very specific initiatives with them, which I think are going to help in both the short and long term. One of the things in the short term is, you may have heard, the Department of Justice has had, through the FBI, a program called LEO, Law Enforcement Online, which is a very trusted and ingrained tool that's in the law enforcement community, as it has a very large following among the state and local law enforcement. Another major program like that is RISNET, which was funded through grants out of the Department of Justice, and it was kind of, but more through the leadership of the state and local community. So both of those existing programs are already in place and are very much information sharing avenues and tools that are available to be used and have been in place for a long time and have had wide constituents. The Department of Homeland Security, within the past year or so, has put up its own HSIN, which is its information sharing environment, and it is in the process of you know, implementing that in a wide spectrum of users across the Homeland Security community. So one of the things that we have done is make those systems interoperable. Those are existing current systems that each have constituents, some of them in common, some of them are different, but we've made them interoperable in that you can have access to LEO through HSIN, you can have access through HSIN through LEO, and the same with RISNET. So an individual law enforcement officer can basically get at all the information in all three from the same terminal. And that's a powerful thing. So that's a short-term thing we've done. It's a little bit kludgy. It's not as good as we want it to be because they weren't all designed together. But it is a short-term thing which enables better information sharing. Of course, all of this is kind of, we're looking the longer-term picture for the information sharing environment that will be coming out of the program manager that was recently appointed by the White House to help us guide what our future looks like in that information sharing bus that's kind of going to be, you know, available to us. But we've done that in the short term. Another longer-term thing that we've done is establish some standards, which are very important. The Office of Justice Programs has developed global justice XML standards and has been in the process of doing that for several years. So they have several versions that, you know, that have matured over the last couple of years that basically help standardize the terms used in law enforcement and in the way we implement the, use those terms in our information systems, in the data. So we have taken the work that they've done and expanded that in the information sharing environment to in a program called NIEM. N-I-E-M or NIEM stands for National Information Exchange Model. That is a program to help standardize the interchanges and the sharing approaches that we're using across our government. So one of the things that we did, we solicited Homeland Security's efforts in working with us on the development of NIEM. And they have agreed. So approximately 4 or 5 months ago, I announced jointly with the CIO of the Department of Homeland Security that we would both, in the future, adopt NIEM standards for all of our information systems that we are building. So that's important for long-term interoperability, so that we will be talking the same languages, we will have shorthand for communicating with each other, and we will also gradually implement that as we modify and enhance existing systems, we will implement that standard also. So gradually, that will be a major factor in making our communications much more easy from a technical standpoint. So those are two initiatives that we have implemented over the past 6 to 9 months, which I think were very effective in terms of achieving this information sharing goal. Also, we have an ongoing effort to work with Homeland Security as partners. And, you know, just an example of that is in May, we basically took a little tour of some of the fusion center and intelligence centers that are the initiatives that have been accomplished by the state and local governments, both at the state level, the local level, the city level, the regional level, in the state of New York. So we did that jointly with Homeland Security so we could see the kinds of environments that our information is going to go into and better figure out from a technical standpoint how we would share information in those with those environments.
Excellent. Thank you. In March 2004, the Office of Management and Budget initiated a government-wide analysis of the lines of business supporting the president's management agenda to expand e-government. Can you tell us about the goals of the case management line of business?
Sure. Well, first and foremost, I think the goal of the case management line of business was to explore what is case management and what role does it play in our agencies. Because cases are something that are, it's a very much operational kind of thing, as opposed to like a financial system or an HR system, which are handling the administrative aspects of our mission. Cases tend to include the content of our most critical mission operational information. So they're very, very important to our agencies. So what we did is we kind of took case management and we started breaking it down from an architectural standpoint. And we saw that there are really three different kinds of cases that are used in the federal government. There's investigative cases, like are used in law enforcement. There's litigation case management, which are used by the attorneys. And then there's administrative case management, which are used to process cases that are not necessarily legal, but have to follow a procedure. So we actually have developed an enterprise architecture aspect for case management, for all those three elements of case management. Once we have that, then what we're embarking on is exploring each of those, and we've chosen investigative and litigation first because they're kind of priorities for the Department of Justice right now. And we are the lead in this case management line of business. So we have chosen those, and we're actually working on major systems in those areas. And we're doing that in conjunction with all of the relevant components within the Department of Justice and with sister agencies who have interest in those particular areas. So, for example, the FBI is the lead for the investigative case management system initiative, and they are in the process of developing a program called Sentinel that you may have heard about. It's extremely important. It will be used by all FBI agents across the whole universe of FBI activities and contain their most critical information. So that program is underway. The Department of Homeland Security, who is also very interested in developing case management for their investigation activities, is very much a part of our efforts. While FBI is in the lead, the Homeland Security Department has had representatives who have been part of all the initiatives we have done so far from a requirements definition standpoint, and they will actually be part of the oversight of the project as it proceeds to get their input into it also. Because obviously, hopefully, while we're looking at the case management line of business to create a framework for case management systems in the future, we're also hoping that to the extent possible, we can leverage the software that's developed. So Sentinel is a good example of that. Now, whether Homeland Security will be able to take that software as is when it's used at the FBI and apply it, that's usually not the case with organizations as large as the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security. But will they be able to use it? Absolutely, because we're looking at a service-oriented architecture, which means that they can just, if there's something missing, they can add it on, and it'll work very nicely with what's done. So we are looking for major reuse out of Sentinel, but we're certainly looking at it as a centerpiece for the framework for any investigative case management system. Likewise, on the litigation side, we're developing the litigation case management system initiative within the Department of Justice because, just like I said earlier, in terms of the kinds of employees we have both the law enforcement types and we have the lawyers, and the lawyers are involved in litigation. And litigation takes place all over the Department of Justice. We have the U.S. attorneys who do litigation across the whole country. And then we have specialized divisions like the civil division, the criminal division, the antitrust division, the tax division for very specific large cases that fall in a specific area. All of those have cases. So cases are everywhere. And, you know, I think we did a survey initially when we started this case management initiative and found that there are 22 case management systems in operation at the Department of Justice. And that's just not a good idea. So what we're trying to do is, from the litigation side, is to get that down, and we're actually trying to get that as the main litigation case management system that we used regardless across the entire department in all our litigating divisions. And obviously, I think the Department of Justice has the majority of the lawyers in the federal government, but there's plenty elsewhere. And obviously, we want this to be a valuable tool to them, too. So these are major initiatives. I think we were chosen as the lead of this line of business because it so impacts the department, you know, on both the investigative and the case management side. But we've been very careful in our approach to developing it. First, we took an architectural approach to make sure that we've gotten the whole thing scoped out, and establishing standards is going to be very important. So we're in the process of doing that. What is a case? But then we're using service-oriented architecture and other techniques when we develop the system so to make sure that they are transferable and that other agencies can actually use as much of these systems as possible.
Well, that's been a very interesting background and understanding of the lines of business. What are some of the management challenges facing the U.S. Department of Justice? We'll ask the department's Chief Information Officer, Vance Hitch, to explain this to us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.